Well, first of all, my name is not Alonzo Jones, if you know Alonzo. And I was asked to fill in for him because he had a conflict today. He was having a little surgery or something, and so I am filling in. And so they don't have any description of me in the brochure. I am from Dallas, Texas, and I went to Dallas Seminary. And then later, I went and got a doctor of ministry degree from Covenant Seminary. I have been married for 50 years this year. I have two daughters. She's the one that deserves it. And so I have six grandchildren. At Covenant, I did my dissertation on developing a family ministry, which just really falls into it. And I was assigned this topic when Alonzo was not able to make it, so I said that would be fine. And so I pulled out something that I'd already done on preparing a mentoring ministry for a church like Briarwood. But it's going to be integrated with, there's two types of mentoring. There's like a formal and there's an informal. And I'll explain more of that as we go along. But it is a very important area, and one I think we could all benefit from. First of all, let me open us with prayer. Father God, you are a great God. We thank you for your presence with us this day, and I do pray for this seminar that it would help people think through this area of mentoring. Thank you that you have provided for us the body of Christ, that we can come together and learn from one another. And Lord, we just thank you for your love, and thank you for these folks that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My original proposal was to develop a mentoring, marriage mentoring initiative in the body of Christ at Briarwood to provide recently married Briarwood couples with valuable guidance in a relational style from seasoned and trained mentor couples. I did not put a PowerPoint together. I didn't realize the room was going to be this large, and I thought, yeah, there is a handout if you didn't have one.
What's your name, sir? Your name?
Did I give my name? Thank you. It's Dave Matthews. There's a band floating around out there with the same name. I don't get any royalties from it. I am terrible about introducing myself. There's so many times my wife tells me, you should have introduced yourself. I said, well, everybody knows me. I forget. So she says, but she reminds me all the time. Anyway, I ran across this on the internet recently, and I thought it was very good. It's a very good testimony on somebody on mentoring. It's written by a lady, and it was with Crossway Publishers. It said, around the five-year mark in our marriage, my husband and I went through several years without any mentorship as individuals or as a couple. Those were not good years. We lacked perspective, wisdom, and hope. We acutely felt the absence of a place to vent and wrestle over life decisions with someone who wasn't personally affected by our choices. We lacked a sounding board for our parenting decisions and our irritations with one another. We floated through these few years of a married with kids life without loving it or finding purpose in what we were doing. After a few moves and a few job changes, we began looking for a new church. We visited several fellowship comprised of couples who looked a lot like us with kids our age and houses in similar neighborhoods. Instead, we chose a church body diverse in age, race, and economic status. We saw couples there for many generations, and we decided this place would become our home. We needed it, and they needed us. We would find people there to watch, follow, and guide us, and we could find the mentors we needed. And we did. Many people have poured into our individual lives, into our marriage, in the 20 years since we had been in our church. We hadn't even realized how much we needed mentoring until we witnessed the growth happening in us, and mentoring had changed us. Once you've experienced the value of having a marriage mentor, you will start telling other people to do the same. You'll notice young couples and offer yourself as a marriage mentor. You will start mentoring ministries in your church. You will tell other people to be accountable to someone who is ahead of them in life. She said, We have had many mentors throughout our married life, but our favorite is a married couple who mentored us shortly after we joined our church 20 years ago. And we had a few conversations with them about life and decided this is the couple we've been looking for. We opened up our marriage, our personal failings, our family, our everything. They invested us individually in our marriage and our kids. We ate together, laughed together, and cried together. Several years ago, they moved out of state, and we were devastated. Since that time, we have prioritized staying in touch by phone, email, and in person. We have vacationed together. We've driven long distances just to meet for dinner. We love them deeply. Our hearts are continually full of gratefulness and shared experiences. They are one of the best decisions we ever made. But that is a great testimony on a couple who did experience such a positive mentoring experience with an older couple. And so why do you need a marriage mentoring program? And one thing I was hoping was for a smaller room, have a discussion all through here. So anything y'all want to share or add to it, you are free to. But why have a marriage mentoring program? Well, first of all, there is a lack of premarital counseling. And I don't know about you all, but my wife and I did not have any premarital counseling. Now, we got married in a very large Presbyterian church in Memphis. We met with our senior pastor for maybe 30 minutes at one time. And the minister that married us was a minister that Betty knew years before when she was growing up in that church. And so I met him right before the rehearsal dinner. So we did not have any premarital counseling. Now, the good other side is I did go to Dallas Seminary, and I was in my second year there, and I had a course in marriage and family by a fellow named Dr. Howard Hendricks, who the main reason I went to Dallas was to study under him. In a sense, you might say he was a mentor of mine because I took every class that he taught, except for one. I thought they were going to repeat it, and they didn't. But it was an outstanding class in marriage and family. It really was, and he even covered premarital counseling, but we did not have a counselor meeting with us together and challenging us to interact with one another and going over some real basics in our marriage life. But also you need a marriage mentoring program because couples have become islands. I don't know how couples make it without a church. I really don't. There is that church atmosphere in the body of Christ as so important in our walk with Christ. Also, the early years of marriage. There are definitely some challenges those first couple of years of marriage. I think it was Howard talking about couples that, they were brought up together, went to the same school, and on and on and on together, and then differences they can have. When my wife and I were married, we thought she was from Memphis, I was from Dallas, both big cities. She was from a large denominational church, I was from a large denominational church. Her father was a doctor, mine was a lawyer, so there were similarities in the background. And about a year later, I woke up one day and realized how different we were. It just hit me like a sledgehammer. My wife's an artist, and I have more of a business mentality, and even majored in business in college, and that's when I feel like you start your marriage growing together when you realize all the differences and working them through. But your early years do provide challenges. Any question. The disconnected nature of our society, the lack of nurturing, this often opposition of government institutions like the public schools and media, assumes the role of family and the church. And the lack of family models, a plethora of broken homes. When I was growing up, I was I was born in 1945, so I was, that makes me 77. I was brought up in a very stable environment. I'm trying to think through. Almost all the mothers were stay-at-home mothers. I had one friend who came from a divorced family, and it was just totally different. And boy, I'll tell you what has happened since then and what I see in all my counseling practices. Finding a stable home is such a rarity today. And we have the myths of marriage modeled in society, social media, TV, movies, romance novels. Let me ask you this. What TV movies do you think has really affected us as far as thinking about a family or stable home environment? Hot movies the last couple of years?
Movies or TV series?
Both. Both.
I've never watched it. I've never seen an episode, but I assume Modern Family.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I never watched that either. Yeah, you're definitely right. That's a very dysfunctional, that really was a dysfunctional family, a good one. How about the rest of y'all? What other TV shows or movies? Pardon? Yeah, and that's changing. They're putting, unfortunately, that they are. Good point. Other ones, anything else you can think of? What about Raymond? Was that?
They have a family reunion sitcom on Family Reunion.
Uh-huh.
And it's nothing like Family Reunion. I used to know how to one another.
Okay.
Wow.
That's right.
They got grandma out there doing the boogaloo, whatever she's doing.
How about the rest of y'all? Pardon? Oh, I know it.
Yeah,
exactly. The ads, for sure. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. I'm glad you have something you can switch the channel real quick if you want to. But anyway, the marriage modeled in society is not positive, and it goes down, 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 down. And now you're just seeing the gay agenda come in so strong. Some of the commercials you see, you're just hard to believe. Anyway, the pride of face keeping, people don't like to ask for help till it's too late. A lot of times people go through difficult times and trying to keep up face, and they don't want to admit they have problems. The sources of help are many times contributions to the problem. In other words, there's a lot of self-help books out there, even TV shows and all, you know, Dr. Phil and all those that everybody watches, reruns. And anyway, in the biblical models of mentoring, the Bible does not use the term mentor, but we see mentoring relationships throughout the Bible. And one is we have Elijah and Elijah, and we see that happening starting in 1 Kings 19. And I believe they had a mentoring relationship for about 6 years. And Elijah took over, and we see Moses and Joshua. How long was Joshua with Moses? 40 years, yeah. That's a long time to build on somebody's life. Ruth and Naomi in Ruth 1, first chapter, great, great story about a mother-in-law. And then Paul and Timothy. And Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him on his missionary journeys in Acts chapter 16. And great, great, great story. Of course, Jesus and the disciples, he spent his ministry building into 12, and primarily there were 3 out of the 12 he spent even more time with. But how to find a marriage mentor? You can find marriage mentors really within your family, acquaintances, or church family. You might know them well already, or you might know them personally. You might not know them personally at all yet. Your previous interactions don't matter. What's important is in finding a marriage mentor. is looking for a couple of integrity, faith, and compassion who's willing to invest in your life. But mentors are all around you. When I was thinking about that one about Ruth and Naomi, I have a sister-in-law. She's 7 years older than me, and I have a very good and close relationship with her and with my other sister-in-laws, too, who have even blessed in that area. But I was just talking to her not too long ago. My brother passed away several years ago, and I still call her and keep in touch with her. And we were talking about my mother, and she said, I used to watch your mother. My brother was like 17, and she was 15 when they started dating. And she was at her home. I felt like I was her younger brother. But she had dinner with us, seemed like almost every night. And she said, I used to watch your mother like a hawk. I watched everything she did. And she said one reason was I didn't know what it was like to be a mother. And she said she was an only child, and she'd asked her father one time why she didn't have any siblings, brothers or sisters. He said, well, your mother didn't want any children. And so we kind of became her family, but I knew she had a close relationship with my mother, but I didn't realize it was that close. And she said, I was so excited one time when your mother ordered a new breakfast suite. That's usually where we had breakfast, and she ordered an extra chair because we had four kids in her family, and they always came in sixes, so she ordered an extra chair to make sure I had a place when I would eat with y'all. But they had a very close relationship. So you can have close relationships and mentors within your own family, relationships and so forth. But I'm going to really try to key in play more in the church too, but it is important. The church is the logical place of marriage mentoring. It's the foundation of premarital counseling, foundational knowledge and framework. In other words, a couple ideally be a member of that church or coming to that church, and they are getting married in the church, so there's emotional attachment already to the church. Funny, in premarital counseling, I always ask them why they wanted to get married in the church, to see what their answer would be. And yes, I think they just assumed it. Think through it. Why are you getting married in a church? In officiating, they're having their marriage ceremony there, officiating the wedding, the ceremony of witnessing. As they're married, again, they have an emotional attachment there, establishing a godly pattern and mentoring. So who are marriage mentors? What does it take to be a marriage mentor? First of all, be a growing Christian. A growing Christian doesn't have to be a seminary grad or even a Bible college grad. Just somebody that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're growing in Christ. That they're an encouraging guy. They're experienced, wounded, healed, and growing. In other words, a lot of times I say people have been around the block several times. They have a lot of advice for you. Empathetic listeners, willing to listen, asking questions, expressing appreciation for struggles. Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And James 1:19, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Successful adjuster of all ages, a good marriage of 3 years or a good marriage of 50 years will qualify. What is a marriage mentor? Excuse me. A marriage mentoring relationship is a married couple, this is not in your notes, I wish I had it, who's ahead of you in their stage of life, who has a successful Christian marriage, who speaks honestly and compassionately to you about your marriage and life. Marriage mentors are trustworthy and confidential. They desire to invest in you. More importantly, they love and obey Scripture. Rather than letting culture inform their beliefs, they understand culture through the lens of God's truth. Consequently, they understand the truths assailing you, and they know how and why to help you. Turn to Titus chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. This is after the qualification of an elder. But qualifications, these are great for mentors. verse 1. But as far as you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourselves in all respects to a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Slaves are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative nor pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. But it's laying emphasis on relationships, and that's what the intent of mentoring is. So you have your mentors, ideally, and I don't know in that passage, talking about older men, older women, I don't know exactly what the Greek word says. I wish I had some time to trace it down, and I could. I just didn't do it. But you see what the kind of the mentors is. But the mentees, who are they? Who needs to be mentored? First of all, ideally, engaged couples. We have now a pre-engagement counseling in our counseling office, which I think is great. But couples who are engaged, it's a great time to find a mentor. Newly married, the first 3 years of marriage, you know that the challenges you face the first 3 years, maybe y'all didn't, but most couples do. The first-time parents. Now, when we timed our first child perfectly, Betty got pregnant the month I graduated from seminary. And she had a nice job when I was in seminary. I was able to help financially put us through. But we moved to a little town about 80 miles east of Dallas called Tyler, Texas. And so we had our first two children there. And Betty's parents, who she felt very close to, were about 500 miles away. My father had remarried. My mother had passed away, and he had remarried, and they were 80 miles away. So it was a interesting time. We really didn't have any close family around us. And this is a time I think a mentor couple could really be a tremendous help. Of course, at the church and as a pastor, we did have a lot of people help us out at different times, which helped. But that is it's a real challenge. Parents of preteens and teenagers, boy, I tell you, if there's a challenging time in life, I've even seen statistics on the relationship between husbands and wives that hits a low during those teenage years with all that's going on. Remarried couples, empty nesters, that's a whole different area of challenges. When all of a sudden you've built, 18, 20, 25 years around your children and family, and all of a sudden you're looking at each other. That area did not hit us real hard. I think it took us about 24 hours to adjust. But we were fortunate. But our kids that already had summer jobs at Christian camps, and so we were kind of used to a few trial runs. And I was excited about what God was doing in their life and where they were going to school. But some people really go through a tough time. I mean, really through a tough time. Others. But how do marriage mentors mentor? Of course, hospitality creates a warm and inviting atmosphere and plan to invite your mentorees into your home. Vulnerability, be willing to share your own struggles and how God has led you through them. One mentor I had in my life is a church I was a part of before I came to Briarwood. I was about 50, and he was 76. He seemed ancient at that time. Just kidding, I'm 77 now. His name was John Shoup, and actually he's one of our elders. And we developed a good relationship, and he would call me up about once a month at least, just to get together for lunch. And we would open, you're talking about being vulnerable. I mean, he would ask you the hard questions. And I remember one time Betty had to run something by his house, give it to him, and he was asking her questions, ask me, and make sure he covered all his questions. But one time we were going through I was going through a difficult time financially. And so he said, well, make out a budget, and bring it to me. So I did it and brought it to him. And I said, John, I've looked at my budget. I've cut everywhere I can. The only variable in there is a Christian school. And I never forget what he said. He says, is that what God wants you to do? And he says, I'm not saying it's not good. It's great to go to a Christian school, but is that what God wants you to do? I said, well, I hadn't really prayed about it. So I just thought it was obvious. And so anyway, I started praying about it. And then my daughter, when we had moved back to Plano, Betty, my daughter Carrie, was riding a bus from Plano with a bunch of business people to downtown Dallas to go to First Baptist at a Christian school. And she came to me just shortly after that, and she said, Daddy, could I go to the public school in Plano next year? And so it turned out she did go there. She went to a school that had less than 1,000 to one. They had 600 or 900 in their graduating class. And then she swung back to a Christian school. But I just remember, you know, I had a real piece about it. And their principal in their school, as large as the school was, when they would have parent student days, he'd come over and talk to me and tell me about the Bible studies they had going and stuff like that. And he was really listed as one of the top principals in the state of Texas at that time. He was really good. That was in Plano East. So anyway, be vulnerable, mutuality, encourage mentors to ask questions and share their lives, get permission to ask questions, even very direct questions about your lives, and give permission to the mentorees to fail, and give assurance that you will not take sides. Gender perspective, help mentorees celebrate the differences. Just being male and female is a huge difference, and sometimes we need to learn how women operate and live, and they need to learn about the men. Resource, be ready to recommend useful and helpful resources. Marriage mentors don't. They don't act as experts. You don't have to have the answers to every question. You can always say, we don't know, but we will find out. You don't need to lecture. You may teach as a couple gives permission. And you don't meddle, you don't intrude where it's obvious the couple is not giving permission to go. You do not replace their family. You're not surrogate parents, although they may be family substitutes. You don't report to the pastor. You don't have any administrative responsibility, so you don't report up. But you do encourage them to seek help. Now, the one exception here is that in the case of obvious abuse, offer to go with them to the pastor to seek help. If they do not, you will ask the pastor to investigate. And this is obviously sinful behavior that cannot be condoned. Now, the purpose of mentoring this endeavor could be meaningfully and strategically contribute to your church's mission to glorify God by equipping Christians to worship God and reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ. One by which we are providing opportunities for those in our congregation to love purposefully and learn consistently through the mentoring of young married couples. To give younger couples timely perspective and encouragement during a season when they are more ready to receive it, coming out of the highly romanticized engagement stage and beginning to experience some of the challenges in marriage they never thought would happen to them. To contribute to the goal of multiplying a godly culture in your church where the body of Christ actively performs its function through the institution of marriage. To be forward-thinking and to seek preempt some of the devastating effects divorce and weakening of families are having on our churches, our culture, and the world. To encourage seasoned couples to reach outward and inward, living out ministry for Christ in a context in which they're already daily experiencing and growing marriage and family life, and to purposely contribute to the growth of the overall discipleship culture of the church. Now, the principles provide quality training that is biblical, practical, and readily transferable to others. To train mentor couples to encourage and steer their trainee couples into frequent interaction and not merely talk about their marriage, given response and feedback only. Have them interact with each other in the presence of the mentoring couple. This will give the mentoring couple an actual snapshot of how they communicate and respond to each other rather than have them merely describe it. Much of it is lost in a detached explanation, but it's more revealing to see the dynamics in action. I know in counseling it always helps have the couple there together. It seems like lately I've been having it being more with guys and then trying to get their wives to come. And I keep thinking this would be so much more helpful if both of them were here, and also when you can see them how they interact with each other. Anyway, this will reduce the potential for the interaction to be a lecture or principles or an abstract description from the mentor couple. Mentoring couples should be willing to be appropriately honest and vulnerable about their mistakes and struggles along the way, as well as their own growth and development. That friend I was telling you with in the last church was a true mentor to me. I cannot think of anything I shared with him that he had not experienced. I mean, it was unbelievable. Every challenge I faced, everything that went wrong, it was unbelievable. But he had already been down that road, and just talking to him about it was so encouraging. Younger, less experienced couples are more apt to be honest and open with someone who models the freedom to fail. The gospel is redemption and renewal, and this truth applied to marriage should offer hope in the midst of struggle and failure. Is not a feeling of we'll never make it, but an example of genuine, tangible progress should be offered to model that progress is desirable and normal between a growing Christian couple. But an example of genuine, tangible progress should also be offered to model that progress is desirable and normal between a growing Christian couple. Now, what type of content would be good for a mentor to be aware of and the issues that would probably come up? You never can tell today what might come up. We could have spent a time just brainstorming, but it would probably come down to many of these right now. Finances, sex and relational intimacy, communications, conflict management, roles, identity in Christ and ministering together, family worship, or extended family relationships. I want to ask you all, this is a little discussion time, if you're going to recommend to some mentors some good books that would be helpful for them and for their mentorees to go through, what would you recommend in the area of finances? Do you think finances is a big problem?
Yes.
I was counseling a couple several years ago, and one of their problems was finances. And they were spending $3,000 a month eating out. And I knew of another couple about that time that was spending $2,000 a month eating out. Now, this was several years ago before the prices went up so dramatically. So let me ask you this. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, Money Counts by Howard Dayton. Very good, simple book to read.
Yeah, it seems like a simple book, but it's very good. It's almost like a reference.
Yeah, he was involved with the Crown Ministry for years, and it's very good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Dave Ramsey's excellent material. Joe? Yeah. Yeah, I started the Crown Ministry here at Briarwood over 20 years ago, and I've been through it several times, and that's a really good one. Talk about it. I was thinking today, talking about mentors, because in that you have a little more discussion in the Crown. I like Dave Ramsey. Both of them are good, but one of our crown groups, we had a fellow in there who was 80 years old. He was in there because his wife was singing in the choir and wanted someplace to go for an hour. And we had a girl in there who just graduated from Auburn. So we had extremes in there, and that was fun. That's where you learn from one another. And she did every single thing we mentioned in that crown thing. We talked about wills. She had a will made, had a budget, I mean, to a T. And, of course, he'd been down the block and was very wealthy. And so it was fun hearing from his side, too. And she ended up becoming the doctor's wife, and she was the perfect one. I mean, perfect to a T with her background. But anyway, that was a real blessing. But crown finances, and a lot of times you meet couples through those ministries. Betty and I have met some couples we still are still very close friends with through some of those crown groups or years ago. And that's a great way to find them. But Crown and Dave Ramsey, there's a lot of really good books out there. Several years ago, there was a program I used to love to watch. It was on Saturday night. It's called Till Debt Do Us Part. And these were couples that were in very desperate situations financially. When I say desperate, I mean desperate. This lady, Gail Vaz Oxley, it was a Canadian TV program, would come in to their house and look at their situation. And she'd say, well, if you do what I will tell you to do, at the end of like a month, I'll give you up to $5,000 to help you start paying off your bills. And she took their budget, what it was, and when I say slashed it, I mean you can pull this up on YouTube. They're fun to watch. She slashed that thing down to it was like pennies. And some people really blessed her for it. It got them started, helped them think it through. Some guys would just bail. They didn't want to do it. But it was a real funny one. It's a good one to show sometimes to some people who are going through a tough time. Sex and relational intimacy. What are some good books in that area that you could recommend or would help mentors?
Five Love Languages.
Okay, yeah. Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Good point. Anybody else? Yeah, everything they've written is good. Dennis and Barbara Rainey, when you be with family. One I like is that I've read just about all of them. That's coming to you, okay or not. By a fellow named Ed Wheat called Intended for a Pleasure. And Howard and I both really like it. And I have to say, I've read just about every one that's come out the last couple of years. But that's a good one I could recommend. I had to recommend one single one. What about for communication?
I'm going to repeat the Rainey book because it has a chapter on communication. It's the best one I've seen.
Good. Really, what the Raineys have written is excellent. One that I like, and this is came out years ago and is still printed, is by Norm Wright, Communication Key to Your Marriage. Howard really likes that one, too. We were talking about that recently. Communication Key to Your Marriage by Norm Wright.
We use a chapter out of Marriage on the Rock by Jimmy Evans.
Okay.
Good, okay.
Marriage on the Rock. Okay. Okay, you can pick him up on TV occasionally. And what's the name of the book?
Marriage on the Rocks.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah. Marriage on the Rock, okay. All right, good, thank you. Emerson Eggerich and his wife wrote Love and Respect, the love that she most desires, the respect he desperately needs. But Love and Respect by the Eggeriches, Eggerichs. Yeah.
Most people get lost in the first few chapters, but divided up into a section for women, a section for men, and then one together. But
They also have it on DVDs, on video. And I gave it, I had one couple look at the copy I had, and they went out and bought their own copy to review it and go back through it. It's called Love and Respect. And it's been a powerful one. Identity in Christ and Ministering Together and Family Worship. Paul Tripp, I read an article on him recently. It was very good on it. On the Gospel Coalition website, it's gospelcoalition.org. It's actually the name of the, I'll tell you that, www.thegospelcoalition, one word, .org/article/ your-ministry-is-not-your-identity. And I wish I had that in your notes. But anyway, if you Google that with Tripp's name, you'll probably get it. Extended in family relationships. I was teaching a marriage and family class here one time, and I couldn't find what I really wanted, except Norm Wright had a notebook out years ago. I actually had two, Before You Say I Do and After You Say I Do. And he had a whole list of really good scripture references for that. And goal setting in marriage, there's also a section in those books on that too. So planning, counseling staff and counseling committee, if you're going to set this up in a church, invite 10 signs appropriate to your church couples to participate as mentor couples. Keep it small at the beginning for purity of version and more effective training and accountability. Now, if your church is small, you'd have to tweak that. Counseling staff and lay leaders to provide training and materials for 4 consecutive Wednesday evenings or some other adequate format. Or another time during the week that's convenient. Training based on resources chosen and prepared for counseling staff and lay leaders. In other words, if you wanted to start this ministry, ideally you'd get your church to buy into it, particularly the senior pastor, and just say you want to start it off, and you're going to pick some key couples to get them trained in order to open it up to the congregation. And so initially begin with those who come out of premarital counseling this season. In other words, as soon as somebody finishes premarital counseling, just an idea, say, we'd like to provide a mentoring couple for you for like 6 months. Maybe meet together once a month. And if the chemistry's not there, that's okay. You don't have to extend it. If it's there, you may want to keep it going. And that's really key on mentoring couples, is that chemistry between the couples. Some people just click and some people don't. I think just be realistic. If it's not working, find another mentoring couple or mentoree. You don't have to force it. After initial run, invite couples to participate in a few ways. Mentor a couple, invite a specific couple to meet for the mentoring sessions. Target 1 or 2 young couple Sunday school classes and make mentoring opportunities. Just announce to the number of couples you're prepared to accommodate to avoid soliciting a potentially large list of participants with far fewer couples able to provide mentoring. Now, we did this in Crown. The first Crown class we had, I had to pick out ones that I thought would be leaders in other Crown classes. And providentially, I picked out this couple, Dave and Linda Mace, and they've been doing this for over 20 years. And I had some other couples that led several Crown classes. In other words, you didn't want to open it up, say, we've got a Crown ministry, have 30 people sign up and no leaders. And same with mentoring. You want to advertise it to your young couples classes, but you need to have some mentor couples willing at that time to mentor. That makes sense? Allow the word to get around, inviting the initiative to speak and seek for itself and recruit other trainer and trainee couples. And like the marriage mentoring training program, foundational concepts of marriage mentoring program, relationship oriented. Mentoring is relationship oriented, understanding based. Every couple must grow in understanding the nuances of marriage in order to achieve weaving their marriage into an enjoyable relationship. Wisdom driven. Listening to your couple and hearing where they are will give you the opportunity to draw upon the acquired wisdom of experience to offer encouragement and suggestions. And love, founding the mentoring couple, like the marriage relationship, is built upon love. A little diagram of it. Now, this is a real simple kind of bringing together marriage mentoring. This column, the module, will give you the components of a mentoring program and the content. This column will give you the content of each module. What is marriage mentoring? Marriage mentoring consists of couples experiencing a successful marriage intentionally, developing a relationship with newly married couples. You could think of them as substitute parents. I've changed that word, or coaches. These relationships can be assigned and developed through strategically placing mentors in young adult Sunday school classes or some other formal, informal arrangements. However, in this program, we are asking couples to work with couples. The counseling office will recruit and assign couples. Now, at Briarwood, we have elders, our mentors, assigned to every adult Sunday school class. And that's a great way for a mentoring relationship to be started with one of those couples, with somebody, other couple in the class. And are you qualified to be a mentor? What does it take to be a mentor? First, it takes a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Second, it takes a vital relationship with one's mate. Third, it takes some basic communication skills, apt to teach, concept of Timothy. That does not mean you have to stand up and teach publicly. Just be able to convey what the Bible says, to be able to teach one another. And fourthly, it takes a commitment of time. And fifthly, it takes a commitment to confidentiality. The toolbox for a mentor is a basic knowledge about Christian living and marriage issues. In other words, as a mentor couple, you need to be growing in your own walk with the Lord. Reading of several key books to be chosen by the director of the marriage mentoring program. It takes attendance at a training seminar, usually two sessions or half a day event, at which skills will be discussed. Couples on marriages as a model. Common issues, lack of knowledge about biblical marriage. I had a couple come in recently. I don't think they had any concept at all on what a biblical marriage is. Tim Keller has written a good book called The Meaning of Marriage. And my next thing is for them to go through that one. It's a very good book. I don't follow him a lot. But this was one book. It was really, really good. And some of his books, I say, are outstanding. But this is one I'd put there, The Meaning of Marriage. Role confusion, frustration, sexual dissatisfaction, communication difficulties, scheduling time together, affection and attention, desires, and finances. A schedule for mentoring. Informal. Set up a schedule to have a couple over for dinner. Occasionally, you may go out after church or to dinner, but we prefer in-home visits. Should be once a month or 6 weeks for 1 year. Formal. Set up a time to meet specifically to talk about marriage or do a workbook study on marriage, but be sure to allow for informal exchange if you choose this approach. Mentor and mentorees of the same sex should meet periodically. It could be over lunch, playing golf or tennis, or some other activity with an occasion to talk. You get a read on the marriage here, and you may not get in a couple times. And request that at least twice a year the mentorees invite the mentor couple to their abode for a meal and evening together. In other words, you're able to see them in their own home. Tells you a lot. I know it was a couple many years ago, we were in Plano, and I took a break from the ministry for about 5 years. It's a long story. And a couple that we got to know, they were from the Navigator staff. And I just felt they were an answer to prayer at that time in our life. And I felt like he knew. I just graduated from seminary, and I felt like he knew the Bible better than I did. And but it was so comforting to have another couple in the ministry, who they had been around the block several times, they could really help us. And learned a lot from him, and nobody learned a lot from her. How about you all? Have you all in your walk with the Lord had somebody mentor you, or have you been able to mentor somebody else? Have you been blessed in that area of mentorship? And even without being as a couple, individually, have you had somebody to mentor you in your walk with the Lord.